Here the Turtle is presented by Toyota. Toyota helps you get the most out of your drive. Just ask a friend who drives one. Shop buyatoyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals, to find the Toyota that's right for you. Toyota, let's go places. It's Monday, August 24th, 2020. It's Hear the Turtle presented by Toyota. And Keith, I would say that we have had some fun guests on the show throughout our now, 3 years doing this, which is actually kind of insane. First guest, if you remember all the way back to the first episode of Hear the Turtle, our first guest on the show was Scott Van Pelt. That is our guest this week as Scott's SportsCenter show returns back home on ESPN. From the studios in D.C., the man is back. He loves the DMV. He loves Maryland. He's the ultimate Maryland fan. And his show debuts, if you're listening to this on Monday, tonight at 11 o'clock, or I'm sure after some NBA playoff game, and it will then extend and now always be at home. It was awesome to have SVP on the pod, Keith.
Man, he is excited to be back in the area. And I'm sure a lot of Maryland fans have heard those quotes, have heard him maybe on College Game Day this year when Maryland basketball was hosting Michigan State. At the end of the season, just talk about being from Maryland, being a DMV guy, what it means to be from here. But every time he says it, you can't help but listen and appreciate it, because I think a lot of us feel that same way. He is that true fan who is just synonymous with Maryland on a national level, and now he gets to be back and do this thing in D.C. every week. So you know what? I'll be watching tonight, Taylor. I'm sure you will be watching. And anyone listening to this, I highly, highly encourage you to watch Scott tonight as he makes that debut in D.C.
Yeah, and I don't think there's anybody that loves this area than the school more than Scott does. And, you know, here at Maryland over the last few years, you know, we talk so much about the location and when we recruit athletes and recruit staff, and when we talk about how great the school is, you know, we talk about obviously the College Park campus, but also, you know, the underlying, whatever you think the DMV encompasses. And Scott just talks about home in such a passionate way. It's how we all feel about it. It's how we all feel about where we're from. And anybody that, especially that grew up in Maryland and then attended Maryland, both you and me, Keith, did that. You know, listening to him talk gets you fired up in just a different way.
Oh yeah,
and it's an amazing passion, and he's an amazing ambassador for the school at large, and to be able to bring a show like SportsCenter to 10 minutes from the College Park campus and so close to where, you know, Scott grew up is just a dream come true for him. And I think it's cool for anybody that supports the University of Maryland or Maryland Athletics to see a guy like him represent the school in such a positive manner, such a good human being, and bring his family back too. Really, really cool to see.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on right now. Moving back to the area, getting his show jump-started from D.C. Listen, he's rocking and rolling. And I think we're going to see, Scott, once sports return to Maryland, whenever that day comes, we are back competing in College Park. We're going to see SVP at a couple more games, I think, than we've seen recently. And he always made it down. No matter if it was a big game at Xfinity Center, you know you're going to see Scott Van Pelt somewhere in the crowd. So I think that's just going to be, you know, to the nth degree, now that he's back locally.
Absolutely. And we got into a bunch of different things with Scott. He kind of gave the origin story of the move from Bristol to DC and how that all came about. And then we got into some great Maryland discussion about his memories of playing pickup games with Len Bias and Keith Gatlin, to his memories of Cole Fieldhouse, and what that building meant to him and his dad. To him trying to chop up a Maryland starting five was very entertaining, and people will enjoy that listen. So an all-encompassing Maryland discussion with Scott Van Pelt. Let's get to that right now. We're back here on Hear the Turtle with the first guest in this show's history, Scott. I'm not sure you remember that. Cole Fieldhouse, we interviewed you for a couple minutes, but now you come home officially. SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt debuting next week live from D.C. Scott, first of all, thanks for coming on the show. Second, what's it like to bring your show, your flagship show, back home?
It's really hard to explain. I'm sitting in my house, which actually, like, it looks very well put together. There's chaos around me, but thankfully I haven't had a lot of time to just sit and think about it all yet, because I think I would have freaked out. But because it's been one box after another, and it's just a lot is happening. But I mean, I'm home, and I got to bring the show that we started 5 years ago home, and it's impossible to explain, man. My wife is downtown today. She sent me pictures of my three little kids standing with a Washington Monument behind them, and like that's the home team, man. Like, Mike, this is where we're gonna raise our kids. It's really incredible, and I'm really, really grateful.
What was the process of sort of the ideation behind bringing it back and then ESPN giving you the go-ahead to this entire process of getting it in the studio and being ready to go for next week?
It was really a simple thing. I was at the Emmy Awards last year in May, and I saw Eric Rideholm, who's the guy behind PTI. And for whatever reason, I just started thinking, well, why couldn't I just do my show from where they do PTI? What's the difference? I mean, what's the difference? They tape a show in the studio. I could tape a show in the studio. And so I kind of ran it up the flagpole. This was a year ago, May. So May of 19. And I talked to my agent, Sandy Montag, and he said, well, I don't see any reason why. And I mean, I have a great relationship with Jimmy Pitaro and Connor Schell and Norby Williamson, the decision makers there. And I just batted around. I told him, look, like, I get it if we can't, but like, someone's going to have to explain to me what would be the reason we can't. And they're like, well, it's going to cost something to do this. Like, it ain't free. So they, you know, figured out what it would be. And then they came back and there was no real great reason why we couldn't. And it was a process that, you know, had to get kind of vetted across the board. But, you know, there's a studio and it's ready to go, and I'm going to go in late this week just to make sure everything works. And then next week we'll fire it up and we'll start doing shows. It's, you know, from the idea to the end, it's amazing how straight a line it's been, you know. Like, I would have thought there'd be all kinds of, well, I don't know, maybe, and Hail Marys and whatever, but it's been gratefully, mostly a fairly straight line from A to DC, so to speak.
Scott, ESPN's taking you all over the world. You could probably do this show from anywhere, but what makes the DMV special? What made you want to just be back here?
Come on, man. You know that. You know what it is.
I mean, you know what it
is. I mean, this is a black M on a gray shirt, so it might not be showing up. Like, I mean, home's home, man. It's where I'm from. And like, I don't think, I told Lox this when I was on his show back in the spring, like, if you're from here and you tell somebody like the DMV, like what it is, like they get it. And maybe we're silly to act like it's different than if you're from, I don't know, Chicago or Atlanta or Miami or San Diego or Dallas or anywhere. Like, but this place, I don't know. I think it's, if you're from here, this is who you are. And it was always who I was. I just never thought there'd be a reason to get to come back. And then, as I was just explaining, it was just kind of a thought. Maybe they'll let me do it. Probably not. But then they didn't. There was no pushback. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to do this anywhere. I'd have just stayed in Connecticut. I was more than happy there. You know, the infrastructure is certainly the best that could be there. You're in the middle of it all from an organizational standpoint. But, I mean, the way, like, if there's one thing I learned during the time of doing the show after the Go Bear Positive until the time that I took a break, it's the way we do, look at what we're doing right now. Like, I can do my show like this. I just, I talked to Marshawn Lynch in his car. I talked to Jack Nicklaus in his kitchen. I talked to James Corden in his garage. The Beastie Boys were high as hell on 420 and came on, and we talked about their documentary. Like, and Ad-Rock was in his garage, just baked like Alaska, bro. And it was awesome. Like, I you can do this anywhere. Like, that's what we figured out. So, you know, why D.C.? Because it's home.
Scott, what's the one local D.C. thing you're most excited about that you'll get to have regularly now that you're back home full time?
Our show is going to start with our theme music that has been, the word of the day is reimagined. I hate that because it's pretentious. Trouble Funk, the legends of D.C. Go-Go, have done my theme song in a go-go style. So the very first things that people will hear when we start is Trouble Funk doing a go-go version of the SportsCenter theme song. And it's very, very, very local. People that know what it is, know what it is. The people that don't, it won't mean anything to them. It'll just be a different sort of a sound of the music. But what I'm most excited about is to be able to come on the air in a way that will say to people from here that I'm back here.
Scott, let me take you back to College Game Day just a few months ago. What was that experience like, seeing that energy, that atmosphere in College Park, something that hadn't been there in some time, and then just to reflect on it now, what that was like?
I was really glad that that this team got a chance to see that, you know. For Anthony, as a senior, a local guy who stayed and goes out the way he went out. For Jalen, ultimately, it might as well have been, you know, close to his senior day. It was, you know, we all knew it was going to be a brief trip around the block for him. It was just cool for the nation to see the energy and to see what Maryland basketball means to the school. You get, it's interesting, that show, and this is kind of inside the beltway from a TV perspective, but like if you got a noon tip, well, then the building is a powder keg. Like you're on and it's like the jump happens right after the show ends. It's a night game, so, you know, you don't get as many people maybe as you would have had otherwise, but you didn't need it to be more than it was. You just needed that wall to look like it did. And then, you know, they let my dumbass run down the wall. Thank God I didn't start cussing because I was ready to start. And then I realized my mic was hot, which was a rare moment of clarity. But I was running down the wall, and it was surreal. You know, I've talked to you guys about this when we talked and Cole, like just people are always kind when I come home, you know, and that means a lot to me that they know that Maryland means a lot to me. You know what I mean? Like that was really a neat deal. And then, of course, and I knew it was going to happen because Tom and I have been friends for a long time. I knew that they were going to come out and get even. He was so pissed about the way Maryland ended that game in the Breslin Center with Cowan hitting three threes in a row. And when he's got a time to stew and figure out a way to get even, man, he's going to try to. And, of course, you know, he had a really nice team. Cassius Winston was a great four-year guy. So, I mean, the game was a bummer because Maryland was never in it, really. Like, just never in it. So the game was, unfortunately, not the nightcap anyone wanted. But the day and a chance for Maryland basketball to be on a national stage was a cool deal. And a good reminder because I think that people locally feel rightfully that's the place Maryland basketball ought to be. It ought to be in that type of conversation. It shouldn't be a once in a decade kind of a thing.
Scott, you have such an amazing relationship with the entire fan base. And it was interesting during the season, you kept saying to enjoy the moments, make sure people enjoy the moments.
I sure did.
And you sort of represent Maryland on such a national scale. What is that like for you? And what's your relationship with the fan base just around the country, wherever you go, when they see you in a Maryland shirt, you see someone in Maryland colors, what's that relationship like for you?
I've always said the same thing that we're all from somewhere and that's where I'm from. And I don't hide from that. There have been people that have been critical of it through the years. And I, you know, am I allowed to cuss?
Let it rip.
Let it rip.
I don't give a shit. It's about the people that want to give me a hard time. Like I'm from here. Like I'm not doing anything that's off-putting. I mean, I'm capable of objectivity. I think you'd rather know that I root for Maryland so that you know that when they lost and it was gutting to lose the way they did to LSU in the tournament a couple years ago in March, all right, well, you know that's where I'm from. So LSU's coming at me, and I gotta eat that, man. That's okay. That's fine. I'd rather you know that I have a rooting interest. And so it's neat. You know, you anywhere you go around the country, if somebody's from Maryland, they'll let you know that. Like, they'll yell something about the Terps because they know that I'm one. But the relationship, just being around town, like, it was nuts. I was back here for a day, and I went to this deli. I'm wearing a mask. I'm just walked in and walked out, and there are like three different people in the parking lot or whatever yelling, like, SVP, welcome home, and go Terps, and this and that. Like, that's just – that to me is they know I'm the guy waving the Maryland flag. And I think that they know that I'm back where that flag, you know, is prevalent. It's just – it's a cool thing, you know. I wear it with pride, you know, Maryland pride. Like, it, you know, I have it, and I don't know. I don't – know who I'm, if I'm supposed to apologize, I don't know to who and for what, you know. that's where I land with that.
Scott, obviously so much of this passion you have built up through your own time at the school. And I was interested, I was watching some clips of you talking about Len Bias from the special that ESPN did that you looked almost giddy to be on just in general. Tell me about the pickup games that you were involved in with the players of that era.
I'm 6'6", and I could play this much. Like, I was good enough. It's funny. In our move here, I saved some old intramural all-star T-shirts just to remind, just as kind of a cool thing to remember back in the day, which is you find it, and you're like, Jesus, the thing's like the size of a paper towel. Like, who wore this thing? Anyway, so I was good enough to play. Keith Gatlin, Jeff Baxter were a couple of point guards then that were good friends, and like, I could play in those games and not humiliate myself. But it's just pickup. Your guys are just playing to get a sweat. But, I mean, being on the floor with Len Bias, he was just different. Like, really different, you know, just in terms of physical makeup, ability, competitiveness. It was, you know, I mean, like, literally, I think I told the story on there with Reese about, like, we used to play in the Armory 211 and it was by ones and it was straight or it was by two depending. But like, if you're playing 11 straight and like Len's team was down by one, like, he was going to score, he was going to block the shot on the other end, he was going to go down and score again. Like, and everyone was powerless to deal with the guy. He was really like almost like a mythical figure because everyone knew he was that guy. And, you know, he was on the floor and everyone knows the tragic end, but, you know, the funny thing is that as much as Leonard was this freak physically, there was a guy back in the day named Speedy Jones that actually had a higher vertical jump. And I got caught once, and this is a pickup game, but it's like, I remember it vividly because I got caught, like, it was 2-on-1 and there was an alley-oop and I turned back, like, the ball's here, the alley-oop goes up over my head. I started to turn back and I realized Speedy's jumping and he had like a 40-inch vertical. So I just tried to duck out of the way because I didn't want to be the guy getting like dunked on by Speedy. But I did. And what are you going to do? I mean, the whole gym screaming because the man like jumped off a trampoline, only there was no trampoline. But I mean, the fun part about being able to play in those games for me is those dudes forgot him the second they walked out of the gym. They were just getting a run in. But like, for me, I'm out there running around with like guys who were friends, but guys who were of a different, it was just different. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was a student, they were students, but they just seemed different to me because they were Maryland basketball players, particularly Leonard, who was, again, he's hard. I said on the show with Reese, he's like a fish story that was real. Like, it sounds like a story, like nobody could have been that like that. He was like that.
Scott, we've had a couple of the Maryland basketball legends the last few weeks talking about records. We've had the Lewis brothers, Terrell Stokes, Len Elmore, all these different guys. And one of the things they always light up about is Cole Fieldhouse. And I know that's one of the things you do as well. What are some of your best memories from that place?
What it smelled like? Like, I can vividly remember what it smelled. And it didn't smell bad. It just smelled like Cole Fieldhouse. It smelled like cigars and popcorn. And it was hot as hell. I bet those guys all talked about the heat. Like, you'd walk in on it'd be January and you'd walk in and it was just hot. Like a blast of the heat would hit you and you'd walk in at the street level and it went down. So you'd walk in above the floor and you'd always see that they used to have these signs that on either side of the floor that were like painted out signs by like some student, like pep club or something. I'm imagining like trying to get somebody in 2020 to paint a sign, like good luck. But those signs were always like, when I was a little kid, I always wanted to see like, what did this sign say? It was always some rhyme about beating Carolina or beating NC State or whatever. But like I went with my dad who had season tickets and we'd sit there and like I got to see the greats of all time. Like the famous Jordan Rock the Cradle dunk was at the end of a game that Maryland and Carolina went back and forth. Leonard and Michael went back and forth the whole game. And I was there that night. Like, so Jordan sort of stands alone. He's this iconic guy still. But there were people before Jordan that were of the same kind of like legendary status. A guy like Ralph Sampson, who was a 7'4" center from Virginia, who was a 4-time All-American. Imagine a guy that's good staying 4 years. Guys that can't play leave after 1 year now. But like people like him, before that, there was a guy named David Thompson who was a legendary player at NC State. Now, I was little, but like all of those teams came through. And it was back when the legend of the ACC and Tobacco Road was really felt mythical. So you just got to see so many great players come through. And growing up there sitting next to my pop, it's why when I got to come back and bring my show home when Maryland played Georgetown, it was so emotional to me. Because like if you'd have told me, and my father passed when I was in college, like if you'd have told me like someday I'll have a show and I get to bring it back to Maryland and have it on the floor after a Maryland Georgetown game, and I told my pop that, like, you know, he'd have lost his mind. So memories of my dad and Cole and other family friends that we've lost through the years are really, really special, man. It was an incredible place. And ask Garrett, like Comcast Xfinity, like it's a great building, all the bells and whistles. Cole Fieldhouse was different, man. Again, like Leonard, it felt different. It felt like it was alive. And on ACC nights, man, it was.
We'll get you ahead on one more question, Scott. We asked you back on the show in 2017 when the Big Three was out, what your Big Three would be from a Maryland perspective. The last few weeks we've asked all these guys from Maryland basketball history, their all-time Maryland starting five. Who is your all-time Maryland starting five?
I need to write this down. okay, wait. Do they have to be position specific?
You can do it however you want it.
We've Leonard Bias. I got to put Gravis on there because that was my guy. I love Gravis Vasquez, man, forever. Forever I love that kid because he loves Maryland. Like, he loves it like I love it. Juan Dixon, like, is the reason they won a title, not just him, but, like, I'll pick him from that era. So I need bigs. How do I not – this is impossible. This is impossible.
Walt Williams put himself on first. So we I don't know if you.
Walt Williams saved Maryland basketball. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, Walt probably doesn't make it because I got to probably put Buck Williams on there because Buck Williams was a bad, bad man. It's like 6'8", undersized, and he used to terrorize Ralph Sampson. John Lucas, he went number one in the draft. John Lucas has got to be on there.
Joe Smith went number one in the draft.
I know. Yeah. Joe Smith was a. Like, I'm terrible at lists. I mean, our show. Famously, I would do lists and leave people off that were obvious people on there. I think I've done this. I keep looking for something to write with because I'm trying to figure out, what did I put? Juan Gravis, Leonard,
Juan Gravis and Buck Williams. So far, and Buck Williams.
I'm screwing up the whole thing. Probably Andrew Terrell, probably. probably let's just finish it with that. So in the interest of not having to pick someone, we just pick, obviously, the gunslinger extraordinaire.
There you go. There you go.
That's my five. And stop talking at that. Because it's so hard to do. Because, Walt, you could do an entire second five and then another five, you know? And everybody's got their favorites.
When we would talk about it with guys, guys would hate leaving off Walt. They would hate leaving off Steve Blake, Steve Francis.
Francis was more a Haley's Comet. Like, he came in and he did some outrageous stuff. But his time like it was so brief that it's hard. It's harder. And I mean, you could say the same thing about Jalen or Joe. You know, you only get a couple of years out of these guys. But a guy like that's what like Len Bias stayed 4 years, like that, which is a joke.
I was gonna say, talk about a guy like Vasquez. What does a guy like Vasquez mean to you when you watch him? When you watched him play?
Every bit. Like, you can do this, and it's like a cliche. He had so much heart. Swag is such a BS word. It's like a fake. It's like make-believe. That guy had it. He would go on the road, and people started chanting racist stuff or whatever else, and he would just eat it. Like, it was like your tears were his PEDs, man. Like, Virginia Tech, NC State, he ran into some ugliness on the road, and he just torched them. But he loved it, and he was he the best player on the floor? Not physically, but he stayed. Like, to me, he's the perfect metaphor of what college basketball can be. He stayed 4 years. He got better. He graduated. By the time he was a senior, he was the ACC Player of the Year. He went in the first round. He got to like a second or a third contract, depending on how, if I get it right. And he got to some real money. He got hurt. He's actually still, he's trying to come back right now. Yeah. And I hope he made it for him. But like, whether he makes it back or not, like, he made it and he earned every bit of it. Like, the guys that were the five stars and the lottery guys, I mean, those stories, I mean, they're undeniable. Like, they're the best of the best. But somebody like Gravis, to me, is more relatable because he made it. He made himself that. You know, he didn't have to be that, but he made himself that. And, it, you know, the idea that four-year guys, like, well, if he doesn't make it, you know, after a year or two, then you're probably not good. No, it wasn't that at all. He just stayed and kept getting better. And, I mean, like, somebody asked me recently, like, what was the worst loss, the most painful loss I've ever had as a fan? And I mean, there's a lot that you could, you know, if I really had time to think about it, but I just reacted in the moment. I said, when Michigan State, Corey Lucius hit a shot at the buzzer and beat Maryland. And if you go back and look at that game log, I want to say the last six shots that Gravis took, he made. The last two gave Maryland the lead. He hit one, then Draymond Green hit one, then Gravis hit one, and Maryland had the lead again. And then a kid hit a shot. And the thing about that shot is it ended a game, it ended Maryland's season, it ended Gravis Vasquez's Maryland career. And on the other side of that, Kansas had been beaten by Northern Iowa. And, you know, like, I'm not saying it's a given, but the path was there for them to maybe make a run. And that team, man, they beat Duke at home on his senior night. You know, I just wanted to see Gravis get to go as far as he could. And that's as far as he got to go. But, like, his career ended with him absolutely. You know that Jon Snow picture holding the sword? Like, Gravis was holding the sword, and he knocked a lot of Spartans out on the way, man. But in the end, they got him. To me, Gravis is that's who he is, was, however you want to say it, man. That he was such a badass, man.
We talked to Gravis last week. He took blame for losing the game because he said he didn't take the shot late enough in the clock. And me and Keith were like, Gravis, I don't know what else more you could have done, man.
I've watched that sequence a lot, and I get what he's saying, because in a perfect world, you take it with 2 seconds. But he was dribble driving, and the thing about Gravis, he's 6'5", 6'6", and so he wasn't cat quick, but he was able to body you and then use his length to get shots up. So he was just working to the point that he got to where he could get his shot, and he took it, he made it. I mean, the whole thing, again, I've watched this a few times. There's a dude named Delvon Rowe for Michigan State. It should have hit him in the head. The pass comes across. Somehow it's like he had a sixth sense and he ducked. The ball should have hit Rowe in the head, but it didn't. And then the guy made a shot, and it's 10 years later and I'm talking to you about it, and it still pisses me off.
I think it pisses us all off. I think it pisses us all off.
Yeah.
But it makes us want to have college basketball back, and hope when that does come back, Scott, you will be in the building, I'm sure, even more now with the show back at home. Thanks for
now I think I got to sign up for seasons. I got to figure out. They've been nice. I've been able to get down there close. I got to figure out how I can get the good seats. I'm going to have to write a check here. That's all right. I'll figure it out.
I don't think you're going to have any problem finding the seats.
We'll see what we can do.
Scott Van Pelt, the show debuts from D.C. We really appreciate you taking some time for us and being a great representative of Maryland.
Thank you.
You make us all proud. It's awesome.
That's awesome. And now that I'm around, like, we can do it again in person when we're allowed to be in person. All right. Let's make a plan on that. All right.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to it.
All right, boys, go Terps.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Scott. Back here on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota. Keith, we can't thank Scott Van Pelt enough for his time and the amount of time he gives in so many ways for Maryland. I mean, the things he comes through and does for the school in general are so big. We have to make a quick personal reflection for us, Keith, because this week, essentially, is when we released the first episode ever of Hear the Turtle, August 18th. Of 2017, Scott being the first guest on that inaugural episode. And crazy to think that now 3 years later, we have him on this week in much different times, both at Maryland and in the world and everything in general. But to have him on again as he brings his show home. And that was when he was in town to give his show a little local flavor, having a theme song played at Cole Fieldhouse for his Bad Beats segment. But just a really cool thing for us to have him on once again and to be still doing this podcast and bringing it to Maryland fans. Pretty cool.
Cole Fieldhouse was the fresh new toy on campus. It still is the fresh new toy on campus, to be honest. But the field had just been completed. I mean, only a month before, a few weeks before when he came in, we interviewed him that day. And it is crazy to think about. I thought you would have like ripped my hair out by this point, Taylor. I thought you would have had me fired as your co-host. You would have just had me bagged, but we've made this partnership work for 3 years, which is that's tough to do sometimes in this biz.
Yes, we have, and Keith, you do so much behind the scenes to make the show run. I don't think you would be dispensable at this point. I don't think we could get rid of you in any way because otherwise the show would never make it to air. So
listen,
you're talking to myself, and then it would go nowhere.
Taylor, you are the straw that stirs the drink. Quite frankly, I could not bring this show in and out. I couldn't introduce interviews as you do. So without Taylor Smythe, there's no Hear the Turtle. I'm just going to say that. Because if you leave, I can't do this thing by myself. That's not happening.
Well, we also have to give a special shout out, first of all, to the guy that helped come up with this idea and then just helped get Scott Van Pelt on the show. And that is your and I good friend and Maryland PR extraordinaire, Sean Ellenby.
Executive producer.
We'll call him an executive producer who really helped us hatch the idea for this show 3 years ago. And then has been an incredible help to us getting guests and giving us ideas and motivating us when we would sometimes be like, why are we still doing this? And we have to thank everyone on our PR staff throughout the years. But Sean has brought a lot to us and helped us a lot with this show. So
no doubt. I don't know if I've ever had that moment of why are we still doing this thing? Come on, Taylor, you love this thing. What would you do without Hear the Turtle?
I don't know what I would like. I said I would just sit in and talk to myself for hours and hours. But obviously, we have gone through ups and downs with Maryland as a department, and the ups are way more frequent than the downs, as in any time in sports. And it's been incredible, really. And you and I were just talking about this, to talk to so many of really the greats and the players and the coaches and people related with Maryland who have spoken to so many people is really amazing. And there are some guests we still have not had on the show that we are going to get on the show that are associated with Maryland. But, man, we have hit on so many of the legendary people associated with this athletic department. And it really has just been a pleasure to talk to all of them.
I remember early on thinking like, man, we're going to stretch this list really thin. Like, how are we going to find guests every week? Are people going to want to do it? Like, how is this thing really going to work? And I mean, I've just been so, so, so thankful for the opportunity that we've had week in and week out. The people just want to do it. They'll give us their time. They'll open up about their stories, their memories, their motivations, trials, tribulations, all the things that got them to where they are, standing, sitting across from us, talking to us, or looking at a screen, talking to us now, as we've had to do during these times of COVID. But I feel super lucky to get to do this thing and reflect now. It's so funny. We didn't even plan this. We just looked at when was that interview with Scott initially, and look back, and it's literally a week from today. It was posted 3 years ago. 3 more. three more years?
Sure. Yeah. We'll keep it going. We'll keep it going, and we're going to continue. I mean, just think about it. We've talked to athletes from pretty much every pro league you can think of at this point that are all Terps. We've talked to Olympians. We've talked to WWE superstars. We have run the gamut all across sports. I mean, Herm Edwards was at one point on this show.
That's right.
You know, this show has spanned so many different parts of our lives as employees, but also just Maryland athletics in general and spanned generations. And we hope that we've brought at least one guest, if someone's heard the show, that they enjoyed. And we are going to continue to do that as we move through. And Scott, a perfect guy to bring on and sort of for us to reflect that Hear the Turtle. And Hear the Turtle will continue on. Make sure to watch Scott's show at some point this week to see all the things that he does. I'm sure they're DC specific. We also have a bunch of different Sky Fan Pal content from our side that'll be coming out on all of our social media channels, not just Hear the Turtle, but all the athletics ones. So you can check all of those cool things out as well. Obviously, Scott has done such a good job being a supporter of Maryland, and we feature a lot of those different things. But that's enough for us this week. Much thanks to Scott Van Pelt for coming on the show. From ESPN to Hear the Turtle, the guy does it all, and he gives us the best of us every single time. Make sure to follow Hear the Turtle on all of our social media channels, at Hear the Turtle on Twitter, at Hear the Turtle on Instagram. Sned311 for the man, Keith Sneddon, rocking a polo as he tapes this one for the second consecutive week. You can follow me at TaylorSmite10, and we will see you next week on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota.
Go Terps!